At one point, it was definitely like, I was like, I'm an actor and, you know, I'd like to make music as well. I enjoy both so much. So I think that if one does well, the other will kind of pick up a little bit.
From classics to curiosity, and where melodies meet meaning. Welcome.
All right, here we go. Man, I'm excited for this chat today. How are you doing, sir?
Doing excellent. How are you?
Good, man. I'm good. And the voice that you're hearing besides mine is Mr. Tate Yap. Yeah, it's good to chat, man. I know you met one of my colleagues while you were at an event or playing during the summertime, I believe. And
yeah, I was busking in Mississauga, and he came up to me after a song and kind of introduced himself. So yeah,
happy to chat. He was really raving about you, and I was like, okay, cool. So yeah, it's good to connect on here. I know we talked a little bit through email in the past, and here we are. So tell me a little bit about yourself as far as musically. I know you're a musician, songwriter.
I started, I've been in the entertainment industry for quite some time. So I started acting when I was a kid, about 5 years old. And with that, I think singing was kind of just like an asset to have. So I got like singing lessons as a child, and then second my voice dropped, everything sounded terrible. So I kind of gave up on it for quite a few years. But
that's funny.
Once I got a car and started listening to music in the car again, I started just singing my heart out really, really badly to like Lewis Capaldi and like all the voice cracks possible. But eventually I got the range back, and I found my voice back a little bit. I'd like to think so. I went to college and was going through some stuff and decided to just start kind of writing about it, and it helped me. And then eventually there was a decent response online. So I was like, you know, kind of go forward with that and give it a shot.
So kind of like a natural progression from like just, you know, singing, practicing, and then you just decided, you know, let me start writing some songs.
Yeah, absolutely. I needed something as kind of like a therapeutic escape, music did that for me. So
music does that for sure. Why not? Were you around other people who were doing similar or had like similar interests at that point?
No, actually not really. I went to school for film. So people were kind of in like a creative space in general, but for music, not really. Kind of just bought a guitar, and then it's funny. Actually, all my roommates had ended up moving out from my dorm. So it was like a 4-room, 2-bathroom dorm in college, and everyone had either dropped out or failed. So I had a guitar and like nobody around me. So I just spent hours and hours guitar writing and stuff. So
Nice. Yeah. Okay. That's interesting. Maybe the guitar kept you in when the others probably should have picked up guitar too. That's interesting. So, and you grew up outside of Toronto, like outside of the GTA. Actually, I did myself.
Whereabouts?
I grew up in Hamilton.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Very close, man.
Yeah. Awesome. I forget often that I did, but yeah.
Yeah.
I did. So I know my experience, but what was it like for you being like outside of the GTA, but like, because you know how it is. It seems to be all the action is really in the Toronto area, or at least it was for a long time. I mean, the outskirts are getting some love now, but what was that like as a musician?
Cambridge gets some stuff now. Like acting wise, that was more so of not a struggle or anything, but growing up, my mom didn't drive and my dad worked a lot. So like when I went to auditions and stuff like that, it was like 3-4 hours each way taking buses or... Yeah, it was a journey. So I think that was the biggest struggle. I think nowadays we get a little bit more business out in this end, but still everything I do is either Toronto, Vancouver, Montreal. Like it's nowhere nearby.
Kind of like the hubs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like it's nice that it's not too far. But now that I drive, it's not a big deal. But growing up in the industry, full school days off every audition I had. So
that's crazy. Yeah.
I wasn't complaining. My mom,
sure.
You know, maybe she didn't like the travel, but
sacrifice there. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. But she did it. And, I'm grateful for that. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy, eh? Because the distance was really a thing. And maybe not having a car, you know, being underage, it's like you're relying on a parent or somebody to get you around to these things. And then, like you said, missing a whole day of school to pursue an opportunity that's not even guaranteed. And this is just a part of the process. Yeah. Crazy.
Absolutely.
Crazy. Yeah. But things have changed a lot because now, I mean, online world is so connected.
Incredibly. Like, I rarely go into in-person auditions unless it's like a callback or something like that. Most first auditions in the acting side is all online now, so
yeah
it's convenient. It's not the same, but it's convenient at least. So
yeah you're right, it's not the same, but you can get a lot done. I haven't left the house in like 6 weeks. No, I'm just joking, but you could get away with it these days. I
mean. you could absolutely. You could do a lot from your house now, especially music wise too. Like, all the social media stuff, which is so important these days, is all like, you know, doing a lot of work at home or going out and filming.
And you've done well there. You've done well on socials too.
Thank you. I'm trying to. Yeah. It's different. Like, I feel like I kind of wish things were the way they used to be music wise, where, you know, you go out and you play and hope someone hears you and this kind of stuff. But now it's really like, you got to be smart with marketing and different so video ideas. And it's really changed. Not that I have experience prior to this new environment, but
you're learning as you go, right? Yeah. It's a whole new world landscape as far as that side goes. But it seems like you're adapting well. I mean, you've done well online.
Thank you.
Is that like, how much trial and error has that? Well, first of all, do you enjoy that side of things? That's always something I want to
know. Yes. Yeah, I definitely do. Especially like, I went to school for film as well. So I have a lot of film people around me who come up with crazy ideas for music videos and,
and stuff
like that. So that part's super fun. The only part is just like I have a hard time like posting just to post. Like, I feel like I want to post something of quality and not like, just posting because I know I should post like twice a week or once a day or whatever it may be. So I'm still trying to navigate that. Actually making like different types of content I do enjoy already.
That's a bonus. Yeah. You have the film background and all the rest. So yeah, I guess it all goes together. Like, it ties together and makes sense. Those metrics and like those are, or at least the standards of how often you should be posting and all that stuff. That crazy. Just gives me anxiety just thinking about it. You said once, twice a week, so that's better. Because some people are like three times a day, two times a day, every day. Seems crazy overwhelming.
I'm sure there's something to it. Like, the more videos you put out, the more chance that, you know, one of them might pop off or, do pretty well. It's a numbers
game.
Yeah. But, I don't know about three times a day. That
sounds nuts.
That sounds nuts.
And then there's another side of it. I guess if you're posting, you know, you said like quality things that are of substance that like really matter. So you're not just throwing something out there.
Yeah.
There's a confidence that has to go with that too. Like, you have to really believe in a thing to say, I'm not going to do this every day, just so there's like, you know, a higher odds of something popping off, but I'm going to put something really good together and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
That's different. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm like delusional or confident, but I try to keep it that way.
Fine line.
I think you have to be a little bit delusional in the business sometimes.
That's as of this moment, I'm posting once a year. I'm gonna make it the highest quality, and it's gonna be it for the year, folks. Wait for it.
genius. Yes.
Someone's gonna be like, you know what, that's it. If it takes off for you, you're welcome in advance.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. But, okay. So on this whole social thing, I mean, have you noticed like certain patterns as far as what people want to see from you, or like kind of what sticks or resonates with your audience?
Yeah. Man, that's kind of a tough one. I've actually, like, this is something I've been trying to work on. Since I don't just do music and I'm kind of like an acting thing, I've also worked with like some YouTube channels in the past too. So kind of navigating how to like upload all this content and have all of my audience enjoy all of it is kind of something I've been trying to work on, right? Like, trying to sell more so like myself rather than each individual thing I do. Cause, for a while I was just posting about music. Like I would either post covers or, you know, sing on Omegle or something like that, or, music video clips. But then I was like, you know, like there's other aspects of my life that, I kind of want to post about as well. So, I've been trying to talk more in my videos and not just have it like, you know, lip syncing to music or whatever it may be. Gotcha. And we'll see where that takes it, but hopefully I can, kind of transfer over to that kind of content where I'm doing a little bit of everything and people are following me.
Yeah, more sense
for me than one thing or another.
Like still finding that, I guess, that balance that works for you and that dirty word, the algorithms, and then still being like your true self. And
exactly.
And then you do a lot more. I mean, as far as a lot of people are focused on like one thing, and that's going to be as an artist focusing on music. But when you take into consideration acting and the other, you know, film related things you do, that does seem like it would present some challenges as far as just like the light to show yourself in. And then you have split audiences. Some people love film only and not really big on music. And
exactly. Okay. Yeah, that's the tough part. Like if people are following me because they saw like a post of mine about music and then start posting about something else, then, you know, they might lose interest. And then like when I was growing up, like on social media, all of my following was from acting. So if they're not talking about music stuff, like I got to figure out how to sell them on that. So
Yeah. And then on the music part too, how did you kind of discover your lane? Is it more like ballads, is that more of your thing?
When I first started writing stuff, like I said, so I was going on a road trip and I stopped off at a friend's house, and he had a guitar and I didn't know how to play guitar. I played piano my life, but I picked it up and like was just messing around and wrote like a small little tune or something. I was like, this is kind of fun. So when I got back, I went on Facebook Marketplace and bought a guitar. And this music I started making in the very beginning, kind of just messing around, is so different to what it is now. I have one track that was one of the first songs that I was writing and messing around with on guitar, and it's so different to the whole ballad stuff. So putting that out kind of, I don't know. I put out that one and I don't know what the change was.
Okay.
If I just got sadder, but somehow I went from playing like upbeat songs on my guitar to sitting out my piano and like pouring my soul out.
Rainy days were best for that writing session.
I don't know if it's just, I listen to a lot of that type of music, like Louis Capaldi, and all these people who kind of make more ballad stuff. So I don't know if that's why I went that route.
Draws it out of you, right?
Yeah.
And I guess you mentioned therapy, so I guess that's where the therapeutic aspect comes
exactly.
into. Like you're just letting it all out. You ever cry when you're writing a song?
It's happened.
I started laughing before I knew you were going to say yes. So.
You never know, man. These days, not so much, but definitely in the beginning when I was going through it, and you know,
writing
a song that made
that's
me feel
powerful,
like,
man, that's like that's true.
Yeah,
that's going to draw out emotions for sure.
Yeah.
Geez, I might sit down, have a good cry, and write a song this afternoon.
I'll do it as well, man. Yeah.
So, is guitar your preferred way of writing?
No, it's definitely piano now.
Okay.
I kind of just started off that way. I think it's because, like, I was in college in a dorm. I didn't have a piano there, when I did pick up my guitar, like on my off time, that was all I was doing. I had no roommates anymore, so I was just. In my room messing around on the guitar, watching YouTube videos, and that was my only option to sing and stuff. So
that's cool.
Yeah.
So you've come a long way since then, obviously. You've done a lot of things. You've also connected with a lot of like, you know, industry professionals and things like that. How did what took place? So you're in your dorm room practicing. What kind of was the next steps to kind of get you in the direction that you are current or the path that you're currently on?
And so, I was writing in my dorm, and then I was chatting with a good buddy of mine. His dad owns a recording studio in his like basement. That's his profession. He does a lot of like voice acting work and stuff like that.
Nice.
So I think I was just chatting with him, and he's like, "Hey, like if you want to like just test out a first song, like." Come through and we'll record it. So I did that. And then when I started writing like the more ballad stuff, I would sing them to people on Omegle a lot. And I got a great response there. Like, people seemed to enjoy it. And then I ran into a creator in Southeast Asia who ended up posting it. And I got quite a good response there. Like, the video got over 1.6 million views, I think. So, when people were relating to it in the comments and stuff, I was like, I think this is the direction to go. Just about 2 years ago, I first put out my first more like ballad song where it's kind of more my thing. And ever since then, I've just been continuing at it every once in a while, you know, budget wise, when it allows for it. I try to work with different producers in the industry. Just go through my like songs on Spotify, look at the credits and email away. Probably send like 20, 30, 40 emails before I get a response. But then I do get a response and, you know, it's worth it. So that's where I'm at now. Exactly. So, yeah, these days I just write, go to Toronto to record. I produce most of my music. And then, you know, when I can, try to work with some other people. And, yeah, I think it's important, too, not only because, you know, their work is different and probably better as well, but it's just
rely on other people's strengths and
100% cool. I learn it something every time that you know I get stems back from a producer.
That's like, important. Wow. That's important. Always be learning, man.
100%.
So as you were talking, I thought about something. I don't even know if I really considered this before. I know there's this feeling when you're in front of a live audience and you get that automatic feedback and it's like, you know, you're like on cloud 1,000. It just feels amazing. But what's it like when you hit those high numbers? Because obviously, you know, a million people, you're not going to be in a room that big. Does that like compare to that live feeling when you wow the crowd, that response?
That's hard to say. I would say no. I still think even like any size of live audience, if there's a good reaction, I feel that a little bit more just because like it's a number on my screen.
As a podcaster, you know that great content is only half the battle. The other half is finding the right hosting platform to reach your audience. That's where Captivate comes in. With unlimited podcasts, advanced analytics, and personalized support, Captivate has everything you need to grow your audience and monetize your show. Join the thousands of successful podcasters just like us who trust Captivate for their hosting needs. Visit dnaairwaves.com/captivate today to start your free trial.
Then, you know, how that branding directly relates. A lot of people struggle to find their voice, so to speak, like what image they want to put out. And I see artists changing all the time. It's like you're trying to see what resonates with other people. What lessons have you learned in like just staying true to who you are, what you do? Because it's really, I could see like if someone likes something that you don't necessarily connect with, I could see how it might give you the little push to be like, you know what, I'm going to do more of that thing.
Absolutely.
You can lose your way pretty quickly. So what have you learned from that you can share?
I've definitely let that sort of influence me in the past where like, you know, if one type of video would do well, I would try to go down that lane a little bit more.
Which makes sense.
But in my opinion, like if I'm going to build an audience and I want it to last long term, I should just be authentic. You know, whatever that looks like is how that looks like. And if, you know, if they like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. I'd rather slowly build an audience who's like, you know, really supporting me rather than, you know, having a million followers because I posted a couple of viral videos. You know, I don't think, who knows? There's some people who can pull it off where, you know, maybe they start with, you know, bringing all these people in and then transition into, you know, getting them to be real supporters.
True fans.
Stuff. But I am not a master at that. So I don't know if that's the route for me. In recent months, I've just trying to just post whatever I think of or, you know, how I feel to post. And I think the response is good, even if the numbers aren't as high, like the engagement's definitely better. And
makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to try to continue down that road and focus less on, you know, what could go viral or what could do this. I feel like you had to do that a little bit, but maybe that's where, you know, trial reels come in handy.
True. Yeah. Yeah.
people are seeing it, and yeah, if they go to my profile and they like the rest of the stuff, then they'll stick around.
Because the algorithm still matters. You still have to get it. Yeah. The eyes, all that good stuff. But
yeah.
No, it that makes sense. And the slow growth is not as attractive for sure. Like you want to hit the top tomorrow so you can spend the rest of your days at the top. But reality for most is like, it's a climb. We're going, you're telling a story, just like your songs are telling a story and taking some people somewhere. It's like your career, you're grinding a lot of work that obviously people don't see that you've done and are continuing 100%. To do. But then you have I guess there's some pressure too, to kind of satisfy these other numbers. And you're doing this probably, I don't know if you have backing, no label or anything backed.
No, it's all self-funded, so.
Okay, so then like streaming is another thing that matters, because you're doing well there, really well.
Thank you.
How does that happen? Like, how have you tackled that? Because to me, it seems like it's a completely separate machine almost.
Oh, 100%. Right? Yeah, the content versus the streaming is totally different. And I wish I could sit here and say I understood how the streaming side works. I don't know exactly how I've gotten, like specifically on Spotify, the success that I've had so far. I'm pretty pleased with it. I don't know how it's happened. If the Spotify algorithm just likes me, or you know, maybe I'm promoting
a likable guy. I could see that. Talented.
I don't know if I just get lucky on the algorithm, or I could be doing something right when I'm promoting my releases, and like that traffic triggers something. I really don't know how the algorithms work, but it's definitely totally separate. Like I've had, for example, if I'm promoting clips or, you know, a music video clip for a song on social media and that does really well.
Yeah.
Maybe that's my lowest stream song. You know what I mean? Like there's not a crazy amount of correlation.
Interesting.
Which is interesting. You wouldn't think that, but I think at a smaller level where, you know, on social media, I do have some videos where there's quite a few eyes on it. And most of them are kind of like, not small, but you know what I mean? I think if something did like blow up and say I have like 10 million views on a video, that would probably change.
I guess so. And there's certain numbers, and it's just like, again, it's just a numbers game. So it's percentages at that point, but.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's interesting. That doesn't, I mean, I get it, right? Because it's like, you know, it's working. You're not necessarily sitting here every day trying to figure out why. You're just doing what you do.
Yeah.
I don't know. Can you give us a little bit about how you have approached the streaming part, like how you got into it and what you've been doing?
Absolutely. I mean, Spotify is like, in my opinion, the biggest service at the moment.
I'd say so. Yeah.
That's
where
I put a lot of my focus on, like, making sure my pitches are good to editors when I'm releasing, trying to make them unique. I've had some success on that. Like this year I had my first song on an editorial playlist, which was awesome. All I'll ever have. Thank you. And it was actually really cool. Kind of a side note, but the playlist was showcasing Asian artists, and being mixed myself, like it felt really nice to be included in something.
That's really cool. Yeah.
Kind of struggle to find like my identity in society sometimes, you know. That was really neat, but the playlist pitching is really important, I think. And then I utilize Spotify has like marquee and showcase campaigns, they call it. So sometimes if you're scrolling on Spotify, your whole screen will pop up and it'll say, hey, like new release from TYAP, or sometimes it'll just be like in the corner. So I try to put as much as I can into that, because you know, if someone's going to click on it and listen to it, like they add it to their playlist, that's it. Probably one of the best ways to get like a long-term listener, in my opinion.
Just adding it to their personal playlist of.
Yeah. And then like when they're shuffling through, like they're going to hear it again, and they're on Spotify. And if they're clicking on an ad, like an ad for Spotify, they have some intent to actually, you know, listen, and they definitely like music. So that's where I put most of my priority when I'm releasing is those campaigns. I do run stuff on Instagram and Facebook and that, pretty much all the time.
Okay.
Maybe that has something to do with it as well. I'm not sure if the algorithm takes like consideration of like how well your campaigns do, if it's like the save rate is above average or anything like that, but
yeah,
that's a possibility as well. Yeah, that's where my focus is there.
Well, that's neat. I think that's useful. So what would you say for someone, artist who's like, you know, I've just started recording or I've recorded, you know, an EP or something, and this is a whole new world to me. I've been doing pretty well on socials, but I need to get my music on streaming. What would you say are like the first couple of steps, or at least something to consider before you go down that road?
Oh, man. That's a good question. Really just, I would just say utilize every tool that you have on each platform. So like Spotify, there's canvases you can make. Things like that, I think, make a big difference. Like
canvases are like the artwork.
Yeah. So on Spotify, you have like your cover art.
Yep.
And if you have no canvas, if someone presses on your song, it just shows the artwork. But if you record a canvas, it's like a 8-second video that plays while you're listening to it. And as a listener, I've noticed that's something that attracts me. Like if I'm watching a cool video or something while the song's playing, I feel a little bit more attached to that song, or maybe even the artist. If I have a few of their songs and I'm seeing their face a few different times, I feel like that's pretty important.
That's big.
Yeah, if I'm a listener coming from just a streaming service rather than, you know, following someone on Instagram and then checking out their music.
Yeah.
That's something I've definitely noticed, that, you know, like maybe I'll go and check them out elsewhere as well.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
That's big, yeah.
That and just like releasing often, that's something, you know, I have to improve as well. Just time and, you know, budget-wise, I got to figure things out there.
Factor all these things in.
Yeah.
What's often though? Is that like once a year you're putting something out? Like
I've been releasing singles, and at least from my experience and my opinion, there's always the exceptions to everything. But in the new like social media world, I feel like until you build like a fairly big audience, singles are kind of the way to go.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Like I'm not sure that if I put out an album, if my listeners would listen to, you know, all 10 songs or whatever it may be. Maybe they will, maybe they won't.
I know, it's tough, eh? Because it's like that listening habits have changed a lot.
Yes, since, yes. You know,
so I get that. And you're going to spend a lot of money to put together those 10 songs in one chunk, put it all out.
Yeah.
People's attention span is short, so they love three of them. They don't give the others incredibly a chance. Short.
Yes.
Yeah. So it makes sense.
So I think until you have like a proper fan base who's really, really supporting you, people are staying up till midnight to stream those albums or those singles.
Yeah,
I think that's when, you know, when I get to that point. Yep. Yeah, yep. Yeah, I'll probably, you know, release albums or EPs at a later stage when I feel more confident.
Makes sense. That. Yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah, I think singles
to look forward to, right?
Are the way to go for now.
It's working. It's working.
Yeah. So, thank you. Yeah.
So we've talked about the social, streaming. The other part of this, and I think that's how kind of, you know, our connection happened through Joel.
Yes.
Is the live performances. So how do you factor that in? How busy are you? Or how busy do you, like, what's your live strategy?
Yeah. So I'm quite new to that. Last year I got my busking license for Mississauga, where I'd sing on the streets here and there. And then I did the same this year. And that was pretty much the extent of my live experience up until recently. I just started getting into the live world, and I just got a setup now, so I have
something right.
My piano in the background, and
got the Nord.
It's overkill maybe, but you know, it's a good investment.
It's okay, man, you're good.
You have
what you'll need.
Exactly. Yeah, like. I was debating on it for a while, and then I went to a few concerts in like big arenas, and it was there. I was like, so, you know.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's good enough for your studio.
Yes.
It's going to work in every environment. So you might as well, right? You're investing in yourself and your craft.
Otherwise, I'm going to buy one now and then buy one again in like a year or two. So
exactly. Makes sense.
I actually have my first show in like a week from now. So I'm excited for that. It's at Rivoli in Toronto. It's for Breaking Sound. Nice. So that should be fun.
That's cool.
It's next Wednesday. Exciting. Yeah, yeah. So I'm just starting to navigate it. I played one event about a month ago, which was a little bit different. It wasn't like a show for me and my music. I did play some of my music, but it was more so just providing some background music. So that was a nice way to kind of ease in and then have that show. I just got approached to open for an artist in London. So I'm going to do that December as well. So
and that's slowly navigating that. Your music, right?
Yeah, yeah, that'll be all my music stuff. So, which is nice, and I'm excited to get that experience in because quite often I email artists that I listen to. I'll email their managers or talk to them in person and see if I can open for them. And sometimes it leads nowhere, but you never know if it does.
Doors are opening. That's it's really interesting because you're starting to do more shows now, and you've already established like a fan base and like a true support base through streaming, social.
Yeah.
So now that's going to take people on a whole new journey. Like they get to see you in another context and live, like in person. Yeah. That's huge because they've been watching you on their phones probably for a long time. So that's really neat. I feel like that's going to cause a bit of an explosion too.
I hope so. Naturally. Yeah, it's going to be different for sure. They'll realize how much auto-tune I use. No, I'm just kidding.
You're fired, auto-tune tech.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's really neat.
No, it should be fun. I'm excited for it.
So this is your first show, like your own like original music full show?
Yeah. Yeah.
Band, or is it just you? Like, what's the setup?
Just me and my piano. It should be fun.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah.
We'll see where the live
world takes me. I'll probably just continue to do little gigs here and there. And
I constantly
reach out to like bigger musicians and stuff. And if I go to their concert, I try to meet them after and say, hey, like, what do I need to do to open for you? Or
there's
information and shoot my shot. If it goes nowhere, at least I tried. So
it makes sense. You got to ask, right? Nothing tried, nothing gained. So that's smart in itself. Because, I mean, even if you know how it goes, you might not get the opportunity immediately, but you made that initial connection.
Absolutely.
So, the door's at least a little bit open at that point.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
they might remember you at the right time, or you might cross paths again. And it's like,
you never know.
Yeah. So that's smart, man. Yeah. Keep doing that.
Absolutely.
That's a good one for others too. A lot of people are afraid to ask.
That's the thing, right? And that's something I've noticed when I've talked to a bunch of people about, whether it's just going up to an artist after a concert or even sometimes when I had like some producers working on my stuff where, some of their work is a little bit more well-known. People are like, how did you do that? And then, 30, 40 people and I got zero responses and then two people responded. And a lot of people are afraid of the rejection, which I totally get.
Yeah.
I feel like being in the entertainment industry as long as I have been kind of like equipped me for that. So maybe that's where
get thick skin. That's for sure.
I've been told no a billion times and gotten this close to dream roles and
especially because you're auditioning and you've been doing that your whole life pretty much, right?
Yeah.
So you've got thicker skin than most then.
Which is good.
It's useful in this space for sure.
Absolutely.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah. So congrats on that, man.
Thank you. First show,
like first one man, one piano, one audience.
Yeah.
That's nice.
See how she goes. I'm excited. Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Exciting. Do you have future plans? Like as far as like, okay, so talking about your show, the way you're starting, have you envisioned like a direction forward? Are you taking it show by show as far as like, do you want to add other people or what do you think there?
Man, my ideal plan is to just start opening for, start with small artists and then build my way up. And maybe as I get like footage or I don't know, again, I'm new to the live world. So, maybe getting footage and, having that online will entice people more in the future, to reach back out or stuff like that. But, in terms of adding people, I released one like upbeat song. And there's a lot of like drums and stuff like that. Yeah. So when the time's right, I would love to build a band of a drummer, guitarist, something like that.
Yeah,
I think that would be nice. But for the current moment, I just go around with my piano and.
Oh, it's cool. It's actually, it's really special.
Yeah, thank you. I think
that kind of intimate performance like really draws people in, connects. There's no distractions, right?
Yeah.
Like, people are locked into
everything. Yeah, focused on you, which can be a good thing. So, yeah, I saw an artist named Kian Ducrow open for Callum Scott last year.
Nice.
And he was, it was just him and his piano. And like, that was like the best opening performance I've seen. So
that's cool.
When I saw that, I was like, you know, maybe I don't need to, you know, wait to have a band or all this fancy stuff.
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah. So
yeah. Why wait? Right.
Yeah.
You're going to waste a lot of time building towards like, just get started.
100%. Yeah. That's a big lesson, as it should, I'm sure. So.
Cause it's never going to be like perfect. No. Some people are waiting for that perfect moment or for that perfect song or that perfect sound. It's like, just put it out.
Do it. Just try. Yeah.
There's so much, and you grow so much by just doing things too, right?
100%. You learn.
You can
a lot.
Overthink them and like talk yourself out of what would have come next, or you can just.
Yeah. You have no idea what would have happened. Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Nike was right. Just do it. That's like the truest words.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. There's so much to look forward to with what you're doing. I want you to, if you don't mind, could you give some advice? Because now, I mean, you've taken us through your story.
Yeah.
Some of your story from the dorm room.
Absolutely. But
you had a 4-bedroom house to yourself. That's kind of.
Yeah, it's like.
Kind of cool, actually.
I went to Fanshawe College in London. And yeah, their dorms are like 4-bedroom apartments. Wow. There's like a kitchen, living room, 2 bathrooms.
That's cool.
Yeah, it was cool. I was left with that. All the roommates left their stuff, so the food was rotten when I got back, and I had to deal with a lot of that, but it was worth it by the end of it.
Yeah.
After that, it was good. Yeah.
That was cool. That is funny. But okay, I distracted myself because I just took that in what you actually told me. But as far as being like coming from that dorm room, obviously, I mean, I don't know how much of a vision you had as far as like how far you'd be looking to push this, but what would your advice be to somebody who's in a similar situation, you know, just picked up an instrument, writing some songs, mainly for themselves, not really doing anything with them yet. What's your advice looking back on, you know, how far you've come since then?
And just probably everyone says this, but just don't overthink it and just put it out. Like had I sat there a little bit too long before posting a video online, I probably wouldn't have started, like, especially in the very beginning when I was feeling very vulnerable with like my emotions. And I hadn't, like I said, I kind of lost my vocal range for many, many years. And I'm horrible, to be honest.
I can imagine. You're like, what the heck?
Kind of it was brutal. I think had I sat there with it and thought a little bit too long about posting a first clip on Instagram I think I posted a story first and I kind of just like, I just did it. I didn't sit for a minute.
Yeah.
I think had I not done that, I probably wouldn't be doing it today. So
big advice.
Yeah. If you have something, just post it. And you know what? It is what it is. If there's feedback that's not so good, you know, maybe you learn from it and response is good. It'll give you a kind of a push to keep going, but regardless, just do it. Keep going. That's it. Yeah. It's like you said earlier about, like it's never going to be perfect. Right. What's the thing for that? Like my first song wasn't perfect and neither my second. And every time I release, I learn something and try to improve on it. So,
trust the process. I guess that's just what it comes down to, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And yourself. That's a big
one. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Your people are going to always have an opinion.
No matter
if you lean to one side or the other. I mean, you could be delusional when, you know, someone's saying you're amazing and you're just not good at that thing.
Exactly.
But the same goes on the flip side. So you got to really believe in what you do. And fact is, maybe you're not amazing. You know,
None
of us were great when we first picked up an instrument.
Absolutely.
It's just a part of the process. So maybe it's not your time to be amazing. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I'll ask you one more kind of similar question. Hopefully it helps some people listening. And then, let people know where to find you and give some information on all that good stuff. But what's some advice you have, or like, how do you stay motivated? Cause I know there's a lot of times, like when you look back, the distance from, you know, picking up a guitar, dorm room, practicing, writing songs to where you are, it just seems like a flash when you talk about it. But how did you stay motivated and do you stay motivated currently when things are, you know, moving slower than you would want them to?
I think my biggest thing, and this is, you know, something that's changed for me, like in personal life as well, just, you know, going through some certain things kind of made me realize, like, mindset is huge. And I think it's like when I started, I don't want to think like, you know, I would like to be a singer. I want to be a singer one day. I need to do this so I can sing. If you're releasing music, if you're making music, you are a singer. So I think just kind of thinking that, like, I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
Maybe it's at a smaller scale, but it's the same thing. Like, whether I have 1,000 or 100,000 streams on a song, or, you know, 10 million, everyone's doing the same thing. So I kind of just try to think like, yeah, maybe it is a little bit delusional, but when I first started, I'm like, you know, I'm a musician now. I'm an artist. Like, this is what I do. It's not like I'm trying to.
Yeah.
You know, yes, I am trying to, but yeah, like if you're doing it, you're already there. You're already a success just from making music. So I think if you think that way, you don't need motivation to keep going. It's kind of just like, you know, this is what I do. If you enjoy it enough, just keep going. Yeah.
That's huge advice, man. That's really, it's like, it comes down to identity.
Yeah.
You decide to be that thing. There's always, I know I've heard this thing with people who are smokers.
Yes. And
it's like one of the hacks to quit is to stop calling yourself a smoker, like you're identifying with the thing. So it works on the opposite too.
Totally agree.
Oh, maybe now I'm an athlete. So now I treat my body like an athlete. What I see myself in that way, I'm just drinking more water, small things.
Yeah.
Eventually you build 100%. On that and it becomes. So
I totally believe in that. I had some friends like trying to quit vaping and stuff like that. And, you know, when people would ask, like, do you smoke? Do you vape? They'd be like, oh, like, I'm trying to quit, or I used to.
Right.
I said, you stop that. Just say, I don't.
There it is. Yeah.
I'm a smoker. Kind of the same thing. I'm an artist. I'm an actor.
It's all connected, right?
Yeah.
It's
like your
identity.
Your brain's
defining yourself by actions that you don't even want to.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's huge, man. I could talk about that all day. That's one of my favorite things right there. The fact that, I mean, you've realized that about yourself and you can share it with other people, I think that's life-changing for a lot of people, because it seems so obvious, but it's not. It's not to a lot of people. So.
No, yeah, it's
thanks,
not.
Thanks for sharing that, man.
Definitely hard. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Give some people... Yeah.
Yeah, I'm on every social media platform, so Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, all of that, everywhere music-wise as well, all just under Tate Yap. I have a lot of music coming. I actually have quite a backlog right now, so there'll be more music in the next year than I put out before, so stay tuned for that. If you're in the Toronto area, I'll probably have some shows and stuff here, but yeah, that's pretty much it. Acting-wise, there's a couple things coming out, so if you're interested in that kind of stuff as well, there'll be some news there too soon. So yeah.
A lot of you are familiar with the DNA Project and have been rocking with us for a while, but some of you aren't. A lot of you are faithful listeners of the podcast, but aren't familiar with some of the other work that we do. So I just want to take a quick moment to explain to you a little bit more of what we do. So you're getting married, or you have a friend, a cousin, a sister, somebody you know is getting married. Okay. You've booked your venue, caterers, photographer, all that good stuff. When it comes to live music, most people have no idea where to look. We have you covered. Picture this. During the ceremony, while guests are being seated, or while the bride's walking down the aisle. During the cocktail hour, while guests are just mingling and having a good time. Don't forget about dinner music, that's very important to set the mood while guests eat. And we definitely can't forget the party. Let's get the party started right now with the DNA Project. www.thednaproject.ca for more information.